Today's Spurscast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/almighty. That's audibletrial.com/almighty. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. Access them right on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Want to do bad things.
That's real, yo. That dream at all, man. The more money you make, the more problems you get. And jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurscast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
You ready?
Yeah.
Congratulations, you have... One more time. Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 424 of the Spurscast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, and with me, as always, it's Jose Grijalva. Good evening, Jose.
It is a great evening. It's winter. I just get quiet during the winter. You know, I just like to keep to myself. And it was arm day today, actually, so I'm kind of pooped.
Well, I get sick in the winter. If you can't tell from my voice, I feel like crap. I got on a plane, which I often am, selling those encyclopedias, and somebody gave me some kind of illness on the plane. It's not the bubbly kind. It's the, I got yellow snot, I'm crying, I look pathetic.
Is it like Everybody Loves Raymond when the guy just sneezed in his face? Is it something like that?
It could have been something like that, but it's cold here where I am, and it's just not for me. But enough complaining. I got to turn this frown upside down. I got to get positive, man. And it's going to take quite a bit because after the Spurs loss in Mexico, which we're going to get into. I'm not so sure if there's much to be positive about. The Spurs are playing tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, let's start with a little around the NBA. We haven't done this segment in a while, but let's bounce around because there's a couple of stories that we should all care about, especially out west. Chris Paul injured his thumb the other day. It comes out that he's going to end up having surgery. It doesn't say how long he's going to be out, but Chris Paul having surgery on his thumb, you know, he's their best player. Blake Griffin's just coming back from injury, and then Chris Paul goes out. What does that do to the Clippers, who are the fourth seed and presumably would be the fourth seed entering into the playoffs? There's quite a difference between the fourth and fifth seeds. What does that do to the Clippers' near-term future with Chris Paul having surgery?
Well, they're obviously going to struggle. I think they might dip down in the standings. But long-term, I don't think it'll do anything. So I really don't see too much worry if you're a Clipper fan. I would be worried if you're a Spurs fan or you're a Rockets fan or maybe even a Golden State fan, depending how the standings play out at the end. Because again, the most dangerous, it's not like he hurt his quad. Oh, that's my phone. I usually don't have the sound on. Sorry about that. But, it's not like a quad or an ankle or something like that where you're going to be thinking about it later on, where it's not going to really heal because, again, he's just going to be running around everywhere. This is going to be a thumb, so he's still going to have his conditioning if he runs around and, you know, does the usual workouts. The only thing I would be worried about is if whoever's guarding him decides to have a little handshake, try to, you know, go after the ball, but, you know, slaps him across the thumb or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I would be more worried for the other teams because if they dip down and the other teams bump up, the Kings, the Thunder, you know, if they get better position, you know, you might see the Los Angeles Clippers fall down to maybe the 6th, 7th. You never know, maybe the 8th seed with Paul out, you know, during all those games. Then it's going to be a problem because the first round is going to be so difficult.
Yeah.
And then especially the second round. So I would be more concerned if I was not a Clippers fan. You know, if you're a Spurs fan, seeing them in the first round would be the absolutely worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be significant. Like you're saying, I mean, Chris Paul is playing 31 minutes a game. He's shooting right with his career average at 47%. He's a better three-point shooter this year than he ever has been. He's hovering right about 40%. But Chris Paul's all about assists. And he's he's doling out about 10 assists a game. That's going to be critical when you look at DeAndre Jordan's statistics and then Blake Griffin coming back. Things are not going to be easy for the Clippers. I don't think that they're going to drop all the way down to the 7th or 8th seed, but I could very easily see them being the 6th or the 5th seed. And that's kind of the same scenario, right? Because that's either the Spurs or Rockets territory, the way that it's shaping up right now. If they happen to be the 6th seed, that's a problem. That's a big-time problem for L.A. And if they get bounced in the first round because of injury, my fear for Clippers fans is that gives an excuse to Doc Rivers, and it gives an excuse to that core to stay together another year, because they never really played together for a significant amount of time with these multiple injuries to different people, and they're going to stay together even longer. That team, to me, just needs to break up. I don't know if you have any thoughts on getting rid of core. I know in San Antonio we've had this core forever, and this concept of a core group of people, players. The Clippers have a core, but hasn't that just passed already? Their prime is over, correct?
If they don't win it this year, I think that's the mindset that I would have. We were mentioning the standings. You mentioned that they're the 4th seed. They're only 4 games ahead from the 7th seed, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think they're safe from Portland because Portland's at least 11 games behind. So, I mean, that 7th seed dip could be deadly if you're a Spurs fan. Yeah. I would say the same. Yeah, and you got to remember that this core is built around Chris Paul.
Right.
So, again, you know, Chris Paul's going to be a free agent. If he just says, I'm going to walk away, you know, I don't want to, you know, go through the same situation every year and just change one or two parts that don't even have a significant role. And by significant role, I mean, you know, a guy that'll be an impact player, because all the guys they get still have to play around Chris Paul. So it's not like somebody, you know, that could sort of create their own shot or, you know, can give Paul some rest time. All these guys still play around him, with the exception of Jamal Crawford. But then he's the only guy that's really going to run the offense, and he's going to get those shots. So that's the only reason why I would consider just blowing up the team, just because they're too reliant on him. They need to, you know, just start over. You know, they've been wanting to trade Blake Griffin supposedly for a while now. If you let Chris Paul walk, maybe you can build a new core around guys that'll help DeAndre Jordan get shots, easier shots. You know, move the ball around. He can play that Thiago splitter role that Splitter played a few years back then. But they need the whole team basically. They just can't rely on one guy, and then when that one guy is out, they basically have to find a new way to play. And then if they find some chemistry in that, then Chris Paul's going to come back. And I mean, it's just an asset. That's why, you know, the Spurs system gets so much credit, because it doesn't matter if Tony Parker or even Tim Duncan was out, they still ran the same stuff. And that was for a reason, because all their guys were versatile. All their guys could do different things. But most importantly, you know, they had so much depth that, you know, when one of the main players was out, there was a Corey Joseph from the third string. You could put him as a starter, and nothing would really change.
Right, right. Hey, I'm just seeing now the news is that he's out 6 to 8 weeks. So that's huge. I mean, 2 months of the season gone for him.
Huge.
Very Trump-like. Hey, and further Clipper news, Blake Griffin is going to go and ruin one of the best sports movies of all time. Do you see they're remaking White Men Can't Jump? And actually, I should say Blake Griffin is remaking White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, I saw that. I was hoping that we're going to get me for the role. I'm sort of in that Tim Duncan category. I can't get off the floor, and I'm only 5'5", so I'm primed for that.
Yeah, that's stupid. It says here they're remaking White Men Can't Jump and The Rocketeer, and I don't know if Blake Griffin's in it, but he's a producer on it. And he has his own media company with Ryan Khalil of the Carolina Panthers, which is a strange mix. But the fact that they're going to remake that movie, Woody Harrelson's breakout, it's tough to say he's at a breakout role because he was in Cheers for so long, right? But he became a movie star with White Man Can't Jump. And, of course, Wesley Snipes is just classic Rosie Perez. Man, that you could tell I'm a fan. That movie made me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a popular movie. The thing that bugged me, and I had this discussion with somebody last week, there's just no new concepts. You know, when you can't think of something, it's always go back to the original, redo the original, and then it's going to be a disaster. I hated redos like Halloween, Rob Zombie. You know, it was at that point where I just thought, no, just don't redo the old classics. Just try something new, a new concept. There's something out there. But I think with this culture where, you know, it's easy to offend somebody, I think that people are too boxed, you know, they don't have that creativity roaming around in their head. But just think of something new. I know it's going to bomb because people are going to compare it to the original and it's just going to be horrible, just horrible.
Yeah, it's like they remade Point Break about a year ago, and that was epically bad, epically bad. I'm perusing the NBA.com to see if there's another story that I want to pick up here because I kind of have it a full docket and I'm not seeing something. So let's go with what I've got. You watched the Cavs and Warriors game last night?
For a second. I didn't watch it. What was I watching? I think I was watching WWE Raw and I was watching something else. And after both those things sucked, I turned it on to the Warriors and then I just watched Fox News. So kind of I saw the beating. I felt bad. I think they should have a mercy rule after that because then you're going to have LeBron flopping after every play like that, and it's just going to be unbearable.
Okay, so the flopping, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. Is Draymond Green the dirtiest player in the NBA?
Absolutely, positively.
Yeah, he's horrible. He's horrible. Every play, it's a kick or it's a – I mean, how do they didn't call that a flagrant two? And I know they were really adamant last night that it was a flagrant one. He in no way went for the ball. He tried to you know, shoulder bump LeBron hard. You know, LeBron's a pretty big dude, a lot bigger than Draymond Green. But, man, Draymond Green, good God. Dirtiest player in the NBA, and he does it with this smile on his face like it's funny. But it's just pathetic because the guy could have been a defensive player of the year candidate like he usually is. But he's not going to win it while he's so dirty.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, that hit wasn't bad, I don't think. He didn't go for the ball, so he should have been a flagrant. But, you know, the way LeBron just overreacted. Huh?
It was a flagrant one, but I'm saying he should have gotten tossed because, I mean, it's just stupidity. Like, there should be a zero-tolerance model for Draymond moving forward. He does anything stupid like that, even if he barely touches the guy, you should just run him.
Oh, but then, I mean, then a lot of teams are just going to exploit that. I just think I don't know how to explain it, but it has to be an in-game situation where, especially how he acted afterwards, where he sort of like mocked LeBron and all that. I would have tossed him for that.
Yeah.
Just because he gave that, you know, he was sort of just BSing out there. But, you know, I think they would have probably tossed him if LeBron would have absorbed the hit, but in a way sort of like a football player. You know, I think he even said he's a football player. He has a football player body, but again, he sort of has that soccer mentality. No offense to the soccer fans that are hearing this or the soccer players. But I mean, one little hit, you know, he tries to over-exaggerate. If he would have taken that hit and then sort of gone up and got in his face, I think they would have tossed Draymond. I think, you know, stop overselling the foul and sort of get in his face, sort of defending yourself. And I think the tolerance level for Draymond's going to be – they're not going to tolerate that because, again, the refs are going to say, wait a minute. LeBron got up. There was going to be a fight. We got to stop it. But the way he sort of handled it where it was an acting job, it was laughable, you know, that's the only way that I think they handled it. And I think they handled it well because of that. But I just think more people, if they, you know, with the exception of him kicking you in the sack, because obviously you're going to be in the ground in pain. If he does something like that, I think you just have to get in his face. And then the refs are start going to crack down on that behavior.
You know, how about the Warriors calling that matchup against the Cavs a rivalry? And they had lost the last five or six to the Cavs. And LeBron saying it's not a rivalry at all. I don't know what they're talking about. How about that? I mean, even Ty Lue said it was a rivalry. LeBron says, no, it's not. Do you care about that kind of stuff? I think it matters.
I don't even think. What would be a rivalry? Just them hating each other? I think that was the Spurs-Lakers, I guess. But, I mean, there was so much heat in every game.
It was everywhere.
The first finals, I don't think you would call that a rivalry or the start of the rivalry because Kyrie was hurt. You know, he got hurt. Kevin Love also, right? So they didn't play the majority of that series. You know, last year was really they were healthy. I'm not going to buy that Steph Curry was hurt, you know, especially like how he played when he was on. So I don't think it's a rivalry. I just think it's the media trying to make it one. But I don't see these guys really hating each other. I sort of see it as, you know, kind of like wrestling. And Hulk Hogan did this when he retired and he wanted to, you know, come back all those years. He would call out like Steve Austin because he wanted a match with Steve Austin like in 2008, 2009 or so. And he would just like try to have this artificial hate, you know, this fake hate. You know, let's settle it. I think that's how they are. They're in that WWE type thing where they're trying to script it, or at least the big networks are trying to make it into a rivalry. I don't think LeBron's buying into it. I don't think LeBron cares, especially with how they're act. You know, but I don't think he cares about it. But I think he's still, you know, sort of a showboat because they had a Steph Curry doll or a Klay Thompson doll at the Halloween party, and everybody had to step on it to get in or something like that.
Right.
I don't think LeBron sees it as a rivalry, but I think he's just showing off that finals win. With the Heat, remember in 2013, that was such sort of a back and forth series between them, and really it was really like a personal thing because these guys all wanted to win. I think that was a rivalry, especially 2014 because the Spurs whooped them in the five game series. But you know, and that ended there obviously because LeBron went back. But I just don't see this as a rivalry up until something happens. Maybe a scrub gets in Draymond's face and, you know, sort of punks him out or something like that. Then it would be a rivalry. But right now, I don't think both sides take it so seriously in that.
You know, I don't think the NBA, you know, really has rivalries anymore because certainly not teams against teams. I think players can, right? I mean, you feel that way? Like, there's not going to be any more Lakers, Celtics, you know, that kind of a thing.
Well, think about it this way, and this is the way the NBA has been marketed now, because it's not a rivalry because it's LeBron versus Curry. They play different positions, but, you know, they don't see each other. It's not like how you said Lakers-Celtics, because it wasn't Magic against Bird. It was the Lakers against the Celtics. You know, it was this team mentality, right?
Right.
So the fact that it's no longer a team thing, they're trying to, market the players instead of the actual team. I think that's what hurts it. If the Cavs and the Warriors were marketed as teams, then I think you could build up a rivalry around that. But when it's just players and they focus on LeBron and they focus on Curry and Durant and all these guys, I just think it diminishes any possibility of it being a rivalry.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. The most recent case where it was just two teams that I can think of off the top of my head, of two teams that really hated each other and were both really competitive, would be remember the Mavericks Kings, like in the early aughts? Those two teams hated each other, and they were both really competitive. You know, with Mike Bibby.
You went that far back?
Yeah, well, I mean,
did you go?
That's like 15 years.
90s?
No, it was like 15 years. I mean, that's a long time. I get it.
2000? I mean, it would. Well, I was going to say, you know, the most recent, I think, would have been Celtics Lakers, right? Because I mean, it was just the two teams. They sort of it wasn't just about Kobe and Pierce. Kendrick Perkins got into it. Kendrick Perkins sort of roughed up a lot of those guys. Gasol, you know, was it? I mean, sort of like that, where you're representing the team. I wouldn't go that far back. I would say Lakers Spurs also, you know, with Shaq, and even though it was Shaq and Kobe, used to have Robert Horry slapping the Admiral in the cojones. So,
but
we forgive him. We forgive him after 05, right?
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame bound. So the Knicks might be done with Carmelo Anthony, but he is not done with them. You know, he told Phil Jackson that he wants to stay with the Knicks. But from the front office, you know, it was leaked that there's a belief, and I think we in the media and in the public already had this belief that Carmelo's time in New York should be done. It hasn't been successful. They're no better than they were. They might be worse because, from a financial perspective, they don't have a whole lot of flexibility. He is ruining the progression of Porzingis. So shouldn't Carmelo just move on?
I didn't think you're. I thought you were going to be more dramatic with your question.
Sorry,
I mean,
I'm sick.
The tricky part is no trade clause, which I don't think any player should have. Don't give them that much power. Yes. It's a business, you know. They sign so they can perform, and if they don't perform to your team standards, then I think you should trade them wherever you know you find fit to help your team in return. It's tricky. I don't think he's done with them. I think he could be enticed with the right situation, but again, I think there was a rumor where he was only okay with the Cavs and the Clippers. I don't know where that rumor came about. It was just all over Facebook and Twitter. But again, that guy earned so much that you'd have to break up the big three. So you would have to, you know, give Kevin Love back. And I think Kevin Love would absolutely work with Porzingis and Noah because the floor would be stretched and, you know, he could be a role player. With the Clippers, that's a whole sticky situation. I don't know if you'd even want to touch that, you know, for whoever they'd want in return. But he's got to be selfish at this point. How old is he? Like 32, something around those lines. I would just be greedy, you know. Again, unless you give me a good situation where that trade still makes whatever team I'm going with a contender, I'm not gonna waive the no trade clause. The Knicks got into this, and I mean Phil Jackson put himself in that situation. I think the whole LeBron's posse type of talk kind of soured the relationship. I thought he probably saw that as racist. To me, it did sound racist, you know, but maybe Phil didn't mean to say it like that, but I think that sort of strained their any friendship that they had. So.
Yeah, but that's bogus.
No, if I'm Carmelo, best situation for him.
Yeah, that's bogus. That wasn't racist. I agree with you though. He should bail to something that makes sense for him. Chase the title. He's not going to get a title in New York. I mean, like you said, he's going to be way past his prime, way too old. By the time that they're competitive, you know, I could see him on a team like the Clippers, and you know what? To be frank, they might be willing to start moving. They might be willing to start breaking up that core. So I could see him over there with the Clippers. Cleveland, of course, makes a ton of sense for the reasons that you said. But again, breaking up a team that previously won the title. So.
Well, I got another team that might intrigue him. What about the Spurs?
For who?
I'd probably give him LaMarcus Aldridge. If it was me, I'd probably give him LaMarcus Aldridge. If you don't give him Aldridge, you'd probably have to offer Pau Gasol and Danny Green to sort of make it work. But, you know, you take the size and you take the shooting that those bigs can have. But, you know, I mean, if you have Kawhi and Carmelo starting, I mean, that's really a tough situation for any team defensively. You could start Deadman and sort of, you know, because I think they have the wing players and also the front court guys. You would still have David Lee coming off the bench. Bertens can also play. So, you know, I think it would work if the Spurs wanted to do it. If it was me, I would just stick with this team just because they're tall and talented and offensively capable to win any game just because of their shooting.
Yeah,
but just a thought.
Well, I mean, LaMarcus, I'm just trying to think of what we'd have to replace. LaMarcus is at 17.5 points a game, 7 rebounds a game. Let's see what Carmelo Anthony, so just offensive production to see where he's at. I mean, yeah, he's at 22 points, so 5 points a game difference that you're giving up, but virtually the same amount of rebounds, although they're a different kind of rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I wouldn't do it. But there's reasons to do it, and I wouldn't call them wrong. Again, that would really solidify the rotation in the front court too. Because if Deadman starts, Gasol's next to him. Now you have a defensive presence that can block shots and rebound. You bring David Lee off the bench; you can play alongside both of them. Bertens can play the four; he can still stretch the floor. Can you imagine Melo? Can you imagine Deadman at the five? Bertens at the four. Melo at the three. Kawhi at the two. And Parker or even Murray at the one, or Patty Mills. I mean, that would be an insane defensive talent defensive talented team. I think Melo's good defensively. I just think he needs the coach to push him towards that, especially in a scheme where he doesn't have to be the best defensive player. He would practically, you know, you could always put him in that Michael Finley, Brent Berry situation where he can guard the least talent, offensively talented guy. But it's just a thought. I mean, if the Spurs would do it, I wouldn't complain about it. I sort of understand why they did it. But if they don't look into it, I sort of understand it also.
Well, I was thinking culturally, would he fit in? But have you ever heard about Carmelo being a bad teammate? I mean, you know what he is, right? He's selfish. He wants the ball and wants to score. But does that make – I mean, is he a good teammate?
Well, yeah, you're right. Nobody's complained about it. And, I mean, a lot of the guy. I mean, LeBron would team up with him. Wade would team up with him, right? Yeah. I mean, if it worked financially,
for a banana boat, Ryan.
Yeah, and CP3. You know, and again, he would have to take a back seat. He's played the four. Again, that would intrigue Pop if you could sort of, you know, put him at the four at some point. I just think it would be interesting. I think he would fit in San Antonio because it would be more of a low-key situation. I think he's tired of the attention. At some point, especially when he's not in his prime anymore, that all that attention, all that pressure gets to you. If he would go to San Antonio, it'd be like a clean slate. He could sort of relax. And again, the attention wouldn't be on him because the attention would still be on Kawhi Leonard and Pau Gasol, I think. And you could even, I mean, I wouldn't say run a triangle, but you could run, you know, a lot of different schemes that you obviously can't run. But again, Danny Green's defense would be missed. So I'm not, you know, saying he's easily replaceable either. I just think it would be interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I cannot wait to type out the show notes and to say the title of this podcast, Jose begs Carmelo to be traded for LaMarcus Aldridge.
Clickbait. Like, that's how you do things around nowadays.
That's what we got to get into. Well, one thing that we have to do that's different than Spurs casts in the past is we're big time now, dude. We have sponsors. We got to do a live read right now. So for you, the listeners of the Spurs cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial. And it gives you the opportunity to check out their service. I have used Audible in the past. I think if you follow me on Twitter, I'm a big Michael Conley guy. And what's cool about Michael Conley books on Audible is that they're read by, I'm going to butcher his last name, Titus Welliver. It's the guy, he was the smoke monster in, Lost. And he's the guy who plays one of Michael Conley's characters, Harry Bosch. He plays him on the Amazon series. So it's really cool to hear that. So yeah, I'm a fan of audible.com. I've used them several times. Have you, Jose, if you haven't used them, God, my phone is blowing up over here. If you haven't used them, what kind of books would you be after on audible.com?
Obviously poetry, right? No, I would, I'm a big Greg Gutfeld fan. I love politics. Eric Bolling, you know, I'm not really a Fox News guy. I just like the personalities. If we have the same type of political viewpoints, you know, I saw a lot of Greg's books on there that I read the descriptions for it, and I would absolutely read them. So I'm going to sign up for Audible just to read Greg Gutfeld's book. And remember, you get one book free. So the only hard decision for me is which book am I going to get? There's How to Be Right, The Bible of Unspeakable Truths, all these different books from. So, I mean, a free book. Who's going to say no to that? And a 30-day free trial. So
that's right. So download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/almighty. That's audibletrial.com/almighty. Get your free audiobook there. And thanks for sponsoring us. Okay. Well, moving off that, let's get back to the topic at hand. Spurs in Mexico, they lost to your Phoenix Suns. This time they actually got to play in Mexico City. Remember the last time they tried to go to Mexico City, it was like an air conditioner malfunctioned and started smoking up the arena. Remember that? Is it last year or 2 years
ago? Yeah, that's why I did not like the idea of going back. It's just the security is not trustworthy, I guess you should say, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, but how do you know that, man? Everybody I talk to about Mexico City says that same thing. But Mexico City is an amazing place.
Why do you say it's amazing? Have you been there?
Oh, yeah, I go all the time.
All the time?
I've been there all the time. I stay in Polanco, this little neighborhood there. It's an awesome place. I've gone, I've maybe been 10 times, 15 times.
Well, get back before the wall, bro. It's just the concept of Mexico, I guess. I mean, I live at least 2 miles from the border, and obviously it's not Mexico City, but just the way the government there tends to view the citizens, I don't know how to say it. It's just they don't care much about the citizens. It's more about the power, in my opinion. That's why, like, you know, when you go deeper south, like Mexico City, I just get nervous at the concept. But, you know, it seemed like there was a good security during the game. And again, the fans loved it. You know, I didn't think there were that many Phoenix Suns fans. I was surprised at that. I don't know if you saw, the whole stadium was basically pro Phoenix Suns.
Pro Suns or pro Spurs?
Pro Suns. I thought they were pro Suns. There were some Spurs fans there, but not as many as Suns fans.
No, I did. I didn't see it. I had to watch replay.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. I really, you know, there's a lot of people bummed out that the Spurs lost again. They didn't have Patty Mills. They didn't have DeJounte Murray. So, you know, out of that game, I only take out the fact that the backup point guard is really an important role. It's something that you just can't plug in a backup shooting guard like Jonathan Simmons. Again, Simmons played well. I think Paul Garcia tweeted out that they built up a lead when he was in there in the second quarter. But again, you just miss what Patty Mills brings or what DeJounte Murray can bring as far as his speed and, you know, offense and their shooting. So for me, you know, I'm not really caring about that as far as the wins or losses. I just cared more about the fact that, you know, Patty Mills plays more of a role than I think we appreciate him for.
Yeah. Excuse me. Could you ever see the NBA putting a team down there?
Well, they want to do a D-League team, right?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Anyways, I heard that anyway from either the people on Facebook, Twitter, or the voices in my head. As far as an NBA team, no, because that would just be worse than the Raptors travel schedule. Can you imagine having a Mexico City versus the Raptors schedule? Yeah. You know, whoever goes wherever. A D-League team would be interesting because there's a lot of people that love basketball in Mexico. You know, even in Agua Prieta, where it's only 2 miles south here in the border town, it's a very poor town. We have a lot of kids that when we do the summer league and the winter league, they come from over there just to play. I mean, there's a passion for basketball. I think the NBA just needs to tap into that. And you might be surprised at the players because, again, it's a very poor country. It's not like, you know, a lot of people have the money over there to, you know, buy the uniforms or make a team, you know. It's really an untapped market. And I think if the NBA does make like a D-League team, they'll be pleasantly surprised with what kind of players they have there.
Well, tonight, Kawhi could go for his fourth 30-point game in a row. He's got three right now. Only Tim Duncan and David Robinson have scored four 30-point games in a row in Spurs history. Do you think Kawhi gets it tonight? I think it's a pretty significant step forward if he does. I mean, three 30-point games in a row. It's huge for Kawhi because we think of Kawhi traditionally as this defensive stopper, and he still is that, but he's become the dominant offensive force on this team and one of them in the league. What kind of a statement would it be for four 30-point games in a row?
For him personally, I don't think it would mean anything, as weird as it sounds, because again, his physical gifts, his wingspan, his speed, how he can shoot. I think, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, another 30-point game. Well, you know, I'm not surprised just because of that, because of how good he has showed us that he could be. And again, it's easier when he has two bigs who can shoot. Or he has David Lee, who just moves around, Deadman, who can go up for dunks. And again, they take up the attention of the big men, where it's easy for him to drive. It's easy for him to shoot because they're playing back. You mentioned David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Again, that was during a culture when the big man would stay in the paint and you double team him. You make it hard for him to score. They'd get banged up more. I find that more impressive, you know, especially when Duncan had a play against Shaq and all these different guys. You know, David Robinson was, again, playing against Dream and, you know, tougher guys in the paint. I think it's a softer league, but the fact that Kawhi gets 30 points, I think it's impressive, but it I don't think it puts him over the top in anything because, again, we know what type of player he is now. And the only thing that would – I think as far as an individual accomplishment, finals MVP again, because that's as far as – that he's already gone to the top. I think that's the only thing that matters. So I think that finals MVP surpassed any 30-point game or 40-point game he can have.
Well, let's talk about probably a bigger accomplishment. Tim Duncan just got his own box of cereal. Did you see that? I tweeted it out.
Yeah, I saw it. I don't have any HEBs here, so. Did you eat it? Did you try it?
No, because I'm away from home, and so I got a box from somebody else, so I haven't tried it. The box itself looks awesome. The cereal, I bet, is okay. I don't know what kind it is. Is it like... I don't know what it is. Cocoa Crisp or something? I have no idea. Like, is it Fruity Pebbles or what is it?
I think they're just like a generic, you know, sort of like Cheerios. That's what I thought it was.
It's kind
of
like.
But again, let's be serious. If it was this salty or extremely bland or these hard, you know, pieces of cereal, people wouldn't care. They just bought it for the box cover.
Well, it's just gonna
Could be a collectible, right?
Yeah, the box cover is going to sit on I don't think I'm even going to open it. The box cover is or the box of cereal is going to sit on my bookshelf so I can look at it every day to remind me of Tim Duncan. It's going to sit right next to my 2-liter bottle of Big Red featuring Matt Bonner celebrating his 10 years of San Antonio Spur. I bought that in McAllen and carried it back with me up to Central Texas, so I still have that one. And the Texas Lottery is making a Spurs scratch-off game. So it's a big day, a big week in San Antonio Spurs commerce.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that you were going to put the cereal that you're going to take off, like your wedding photo or the photo of your child, to put that box of cereal there. I really wasn't expecting something like that.
Depending on what kind of mood I'm in. All right, man. Well, hey, this has been great. Thank you for carrying me through this as I am sick like a dog, and it's getting nasty. I can feel it right behind my eyes. Anything to add before we close this out?
I was intrigued by the topic on that 3-on-3 league. Weren't you going to mention that?
Oh, shoot. Did we not? Oh, I thought maybe we covered that last time. Man, I want a whole podcast about this. So Ice Cube's got his 3-on-3 league called the Big Three. Follow it on Twitter. It's a 3-on-3 half court basketball, 8 teams, 8 games a day, and I think it's in 8 different cities, and that's it. So it's not an extended league. It's not too large of a league. It's not too many dates. It's not like they're just pulling up in New York and playing, you know, every weekend for 8 weeks in New York City, because you know teams would get fatigued on that. They're actually going to move around a bit. And I don't know if they've announced yet what cities they're going to be in. I can imagine that it's like either Dallas or Houston inside of Texas would be one of those cities that's on it. But you've got guys like, well, first off, Allen Iverson's going to be a player coach. I hear Gary Payton's in it. Who else do you have in there?
Oh, no idea. But I mean, this is going to be he's going to be a player coach, so this is going to be a 3-on-3. But they're going to have more people on the bench and sort of. I just thought this was going to be sort of like a just 3 guys on a team, and then sort of like this little tournament thing. But I mean, this is going to be legit, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're going to pay for tickets. It's going to be a big draw. They're playing it right in the middle of summer. I'm hoping it's outdoors. I doubt it though. It's got to be in a gym, right? It'd be great if it was outdoors.
You know, the only thing, the only way I'd watch that is if we get David Robinson. I'm sure he still pumps some iron. You get out there. Tim Duncan, he can still play. This won't be NBA level, so I think Tim Duncan could dominate in a 3-on-3. And Steven Jackson. As long as those 3 are on the court.
Steven Jackson isn't.
Yeah. I mean, get Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Or get Rodman. You know, I mean, all these guys that. And you know, I'd want to see Allen Iverson, White Chocolate, Jason Williams.
Oh, he's in it. He is in it.
And we need Sheed. Sheed is going to be in it, right? You got to tell me Sheed's going to be in it, or you're not sure.
That would make sense, but I don't know. Hold on.
I mean, all those guys, you know, and again, they don't have to play at a high level. Just the fact that they're playing, will make me forget of this atrocity of this soft league that we have nowadays. Shaq should play too.
Man, I'm looking for if there's a roster yet. As soon as there's a roster,
don't worry about it, man. Come summer, that's all we're gonna have to talk about. Yeah, it's gonna be slow.
Yeah, unless Melo gets traded to the Spurs for the big three. All right, man. Well, then let's call it before you go,
how about, you know, you should find out the prices for the next season. And if it's 3-on-3, you, me, and Bornstein, we could make a team, just dominate out there. Alley-oops for everybody.
We would last 1 minute in that game.
How dare you?
1 minute. And actually, I would be the one that lasted. I think I'm the tallest. I think that gives me a little bit of a benefit.
But, I mean, if a 7-footer tries to block, try to get a rebound over me, I mean, with these glutes, I could box them out easily.
Okay, well, that's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Or follow any of the Project Spurs guys at Project Spurs. Jose, thank you. And to you listeners, you're welcome.
Dude, that was champ.